Alberto Rios, thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
I want to talk about what's going on with Arizona Opera, what went on for you.
Yes.
What sounds like to me almost reverse engineering. You're talking about making words fit with music. You start with a libretto.
Yes.
In another language.
Mm-hmm. German.
Yeah. And are you fluent in German?
Not fluent. I mean, I can recognize cognate type things, and I've got a little bit of experience with it. But no, I don't speak German. And this was a great freedom for me in this particular instance. Arizona Lady, written in a kind of post-war European context, and written about Arizona at a distance through the German language. So there's a lot of variables that are not alienating to Arizona, but maybe not organic. They are an outside view of it. So when it was first presented to me, they said, well, it's in German. Let's look at it, and we're going to translate it. They said, but, you know, some of the characters speak Spanish. It takes place in Tucson, 1920s, and some of the characters speak Spanish, and we'd sure like them to speak it a little better than they are currently and with the German accent, you know, and so on. You have all the freedom you want to write the aria, to write, not the music, but to write, you know, the aria. And here's the thing. The music is set. So what you need to do is find write something and have it be translatable with the exact number of syllables that it has in German, with the accent marks in exactly the same place, and with the rhymes in exactly the same place.
And have the open vowel on the long note.
No joke.
Yeah.
And you need to do that in Spanish and in English. Now, these languages do not play well together, and nor do the cultures express themselves in the same way at all. It was a challenge. It was a lot of fun. It was impossible, and so who doesn't want to try and scale Mount Everest? It was not an act of translation either. It was an act of poetry. I was first finding the poem of that moment, writing some language, and then seeing how I could dress it in different suits of clothes.
Did you come away with it beyond musically?
Mm-hmm.
A picture of your home state from this odd lens?
Yes, from my perspective, but perhaps not through the perspective of the opera itself, which is kind of a light comic opera and themes that I don't know that I would work with. And so I don't know that I get through the opera as a whole a sense of my state, but I do think that in these operatic moments, these aria moments, these small moments of voice flight, that in that, I found some new things. So there's just, for example, in the opening, there's a very simple sort of, this is something that I have seen, for example, in the works of Gabriel Garcia Marquez in something like Love in the Time of Cholera, where he set out to write a love story. Mm. And in doing that, recognizing that that was the oldest trope in the world. I mean, writing a love story, you know, what can you do? And he, in fact, in that novel, writes himself into some of the corniest corners that a writer could ever find, and then proceeds to write himself out of that corner in a brilliant new way. So he takes these things that should be trite, and he revivifies them, makes them new. Well, in the opening of the opera, for example, then there's a cowboy, he's riding on his horse, and he's just riding through this big canyon, and it's just, that's it. That's the moment. I think, well, that's about as corny an Arizona kind of thing, you know. You can almost hear a kind of a, you know, Fer de Groffet moment, you know, Grand Canyon Suite or something. And that's what was wonderful, is to take something that I knew from so many different perspectives, all of them tired, and write into that something new. And I think I appreciated what I did in that moment. That is to say, I appreciated that language gifted to me something that could, in fact, help me understand my own state or that moment in a way better than I had before I did this.